Well, good morning again in the second session. And I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter. We were in 2 Peter previously. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we want to look at this passage about elders. And if you're not an elder, I think we can still gain a lot from it. And we just pray God will use it and bless our time together as we think of this passage. And a couple of questions were asked me earlier, whether I had a handout on some of the on the PowerPoint. I don't really have a handout. We're not going to do any more PowerPoint. The next two sessions are going to be kind of biblical, looking at passages of Scripture. I have a website with a number of articles which have a lot of this information in it. It's called BibleandLife.org, and there's 25 years of newsletters, articles in there, and a lot of current event type articles. Others are biblical exposition, and you can take a look. There's five issues per year, going back, probably 26 years. So you can take a look at some things. Some is dated. It's a little older, but there's some newer information you might find helpful. Well, we have our Bibles open, and I want to think about the work of an elder and sheep and those that we are shepherding. You know, I think in this football season starting, we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm not sure what team that you root for here. I know some are diehard Steeler fans, and others are Cleveland Brown, maybe some Buffalo fans. But I think you'll never find a team called the Lambs. Is there such a team? Now, there is the Rams, but is there any team ever called the Sheep? You know, the Tampa Bay Sheep. The Tampa Bay Lambs. See, I think you won't find that, because sheep are docile, timid, and frequently go astray. Scripture never really speaks very in praise of sheep. They talk about sheep going astray. You talk about a man who owned 100 sheep and one went astray. He went after that one that was lost. Whenever sheep are mentioned, it's almost never in a good light. It's always in the light that they need a shepherd. Almost always they need a shepherd. The Lord Jesus speaks about looking at a multitude, and they were sheep without a shepherd. They were lost, and his heart went out. He had compassion for them. And so we are shepherds of many of us are elders, and we're shepherds. You don't have to be an elder to be care for sheep, care for believers. Anybody can do that. You might have a home Bible study. You may be a woman, and you have a home Bible study, a number of new believers. You care for those sheep. But a shepherd, an elder, has that responsibility of caring for a body of believers. And you guide them, and you nurture them, and you encourage them in Scripture. And that's a role that we have. And when you come to this passage, chapter 5 of 1 Peter, and there's many other passages about the role of an elder. I'm going to mention a couple of them. One in, when you see the term overseer in Titus, turn with me over to, just for a moment, we'll go back and forth, we'll get back to our passage, but Titus chapter 1, when you see the term overseer, or you see the term elder, sometimes you see the word bishop in the old King James language. They're all the same person. If you see the word shepherd, it's all the same person. In Titus chapter 1, notice what it says. It says in verse 7, a bishop must be so-and-so. I think the word bishop there is the, in newer translations, is overseer. The bishop is an overseer. And but then if you look at verse 5, it says, I left you in Crete that you had set in place that which was wanting and ordain elders. So he speaks about elders, speaks about overseers, and those who are doing shepherding work, and sometimes he mentions shepherds. They're all the same person. When you see the word shepherd, sometimes you see the word, Paul's writing, he says, shepherd the flock that is among you. Now he's speaking about the work of shepherding. So when you come to this passage, he says, elders, I exhort you, verse 1, the elders who are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, a witness of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, and a partakers of the glory, a partaker of the glory that should follow. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for financial gain, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We pray you lead and guide and direct us as we look at this important subject. And so we pray this and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. When you come to a passage like this, a couple of things I think are very important at the outset. Number one, the way Peter sees himself is a very humble way. And I think that's a very important thing about elders. Elders serve. They're servants. They're servant leadership. We are not served ourselves. If my wife and I are at an event, we clean up. We put the trash away. We mop the floor. We go to work days. We serve. We have people over in hospitality or whatever. An elder... Some people have the idea the elder is some sort of boardroom executive that sits every so often in a meeting and has edicts that they bring forth, and that's just what they do. But they're really servants. The best kind of elders are servants, and the best kind of preachers are those who are in a home serving. Sometimes serving a meal, sometimes serving, sometimes babying, whatever it may be. You got so many different roles that you might have to take up. The best kind of preachers are those kind of people that are among the people. It's interesting what he says. Elders who are among you. There's a reason why he says that. They're among the believers. And that's what we do. We're servant elders. And then when it speaks about feeding and preaching, that's the most effective way to do that. As you're among people, you will hear things. You begin to see problems. You begin to see just situations. You begin to see the spiritual growth level at someone. You begin to think of how to preach to someone, how to feed that flock. You know, you might have in your congregation, and we do in ours, we have baby Christians, we'll call them, very new Christians, and maybe young people who are new believers. Then you have those who've been saved a little bit and have a little bit of maturity, and they're hungry. They're hungry for the things of God. And then you have the saints that have been believers for a long time, and we have some of them. We have some ladies who are godly, been studying the Bible for 50 years. Their fathers have been elders or preachers or leaders. We got very godly individuals. We have men, some men, some older saints that are very, very godly. So we got this whole big mixture. And I think, and I say to some people who are preaching, I say, aim for this person. Don't go too high. Don't aim for those people that have been Christians for so long, and not for the young ones. Raise that bar up a little bit. As you're among people, as you're among believers, I think when we begin to feed, we don't aim for the lowest. And we don't aim for the highest. But when you aim, I think, for that hungry middle believer who is growing, and if they come back to me and say, I'm growing, I'm learning, well, I think my job's done. I think, okay, we've done the right thing. Because the older ones are going to benefit, and the younger ones are going to benefit when you're right there. You go too high, or if you go too low. And so as we're among believers, we begin to see that. We see that middle group of people. And then you begin to aim for that. And sometimes you aim for the higher and the lower and so forth. But primarily, you look for that kind of person. And so here he says, as a humble servant leader, he says, as elders who are among you, I exhort who I am also an elder. And he goes on to speak. Now, one of the things I believe that he is teaching in these first two verses, what is he saying in these first two verses? Well, he's saying he's a witness of the suffering of the Lord Jesus. He's a witness of what the Lord Jesus went through on the cross of Calvary. He's a witness of the suffering of the Lord Jesus in his life and on Calvary. And he speaks also about he will one day be a partaker of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be partaker of that time when the Lord Jesus is revealed and rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and reigns in a physical earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. He says, I was a witness and I will be a partaker. And I think when you come to this section, I think a lot of what he's saying is a shepherd has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm a shepherd that has had a relationship in the past with the Lord Jesus. And one day I'll continue to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins to speak about himself. I think what he's really saying to his audience, he says, those who are shepherds, they have an ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can't minister. We can't minister on the strength of all our Bible study of past years. We can't do that. You have to have an ongoing relationship. We have an ongoing witness, ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus. I love how, I think I mentioned it last night to the college group, but the disciples spent 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus. And he says in Mark chapter 3 and verse 14 that he went and he prayed all night and he chose his disciples. It says this in Mark 3:14, that they would be with him and he would send them forth to preach. And so there was this relationship that they would have, and he would send them forth to preach. They would learn about prayer. They would learn about teaching from the Lord Jesus, the high priestly ministry, about the upper room ministry, prophetic teaching of the Lord Jesus. They would learn all of these things, and they would have an ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they begin to preach, they were there with him for 3.5 years. When the Lord Jesus prays, I think it's Luke chapter 11. The Lord Jesus prays the disciples' prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer sometimes, but it's a prayer for the disciple, I think. They say, when they see the Lord Jesus praying, they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And so when the disciples are with the Lord Jesus, they're learning, but then they go forth and preach. And I want to say that they continue to go on in their spiritual life in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, when the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, it says they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. But I want to suggest that they continue to be in that relationship with the Lord Jesus. We need to have that. We need to have a time with the Lord as he ministers to us. And then we minister back again. I think that's what Peter is talking about. I have this relationship. I had a relationship with the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. I continue to have that. And we need to have that kind of thing. I want to have you turn. Keep your finger here in 1 Peter. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. I was going to quote this, but I think I was going to misquote it, so I don't want to do that. I want to look with you at the last part first. You know, that's not really the way you should look at a verse, but look at the last part. He says this, He awakens morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear like the learned. I'm not saying you have to have a quiet time in the morning or read your scriptures in the morning. You can read them when you have opportunity, maybe at lunchtime, whenever it may be. It's good. You might get up early and read it. You might read later. You might read scriptures at different times, but it says here, he wakens my ear morning to morning to hear like to learn, to hear from God. He awakens me to hear from God. And that's a very important thing. Very important thing. Not to just get messages from books or messages from other people or messages from Voices for Christ or something, but get messages from God that he is speaking to you. He's giving you a burden about something. And as you teach through scripture, it begins to give you something. We preach through books of the Bible at Sunday morning. And Sunday nights we do, Wednesday nights we do that as well. And we give each other portions, but God still speaks to us. When we give that message, God is still giving us a message about that portion. Here in this passage, it says, he awakens my ear morning by morning. Then the first part, the Lord has given me a tongue of the learned. He opens our ear, he speaks to us, and as he speaks to us, then he gives us a message. And I love what it says in the middle part. So the end, and then the beginning, and then the middle, it says this, so I would know how to speak a word in season to them that are weary. We get a word from the Lord. He gives us a word to say. We get a message from God. He speaks to us. He gives us something to say. And then he gives us a message. And I love what it says. He gives us a message that we would have something that is for those we speak to. We have a word in season to those who are weary. And so that's what God is doing. So in this first passage in preaching, this is the first part. This is one of the most important parts, is that Lord begins to minister to us, speaks to us as leaders. Maybe each of us in this room give messages at a certain point, God speaking to us. And as you get into the Word of God, as you might be given a passage or a portion, or you just have, you get that portion as the Lord speaks to you and you're going to preach on that, you get a message from the Lord. He gives you then a message, and then that message speaks to those who you hear. Let's move on. Verse 2, it speaks about feeding the flock of God, which is among you. And he speaks about taking the oversight. We'll look at that in a second. But I want to think with you about preaching. I think preaching is very important. I think our preaching in our local churches should be at a high level. When I grew up, when I was younger, my father, he had gone to Bible college. He had gone to three years of Bible college. He knew Greek. He knew some Hebrew. He was trained in a Bible college level. And as I grew up, I had very good teaching. He was a very good student. He read and he studied, and he had a real heart to do that. But as I moved around and went to other places, I noticed sometimes the level went down. The level went down. It wasn't what it should be. And people weren't coming out to meetings. I remember as the level goes down and people don't come out, there's a tendency to go down even further. And what happened in one particular place, people were not coming out. One of the elders was a great teacher, but people weren't coming out, and he was discouraged, and so they got out Emmaus correspondence courses, and we would read the little part of each chapter, and then we would answer the questions that were very, very basic questions. And that was our evening Wednesday study. So we went down even further, and it wasn't building up the believers. They weren't coming out. And then what happens sometimes they cancel the Wednesday night altogether. But I think the answer is to raise that level, to raise our level. And I seek in our own assembly, I get the speakers, and I try to say to myself, I don't want to do that. I don't ever want to go back to that. I don't want that. I want to work as hard as we can. We've got some good elders. We've got some good teachers, and we use them. I'll ask them, how many times a year do you think you have the time to minister? It's your job, your career, your family. And to put time into it, that we get good, substantial teaching. And we find, and also I go and ask other believers in our assembly, are you growing? I ask those middle people, you know, are you growing? Or the newer believer, are you growing from the ministry here at Land O'Lakes Bible Chapel? And I want to hear from them. Because I want to, I hope that our teaching is helping them to grow. I'll tell you a little story real quick. We had a couple come one Wednesday night, and they moved from Tampa to our area, about 10, 15 miles away. They bought a house, and they're going to a, I would say, pretty big church, 1,000-member church in Tampa. And they came out, the wife came out on Wednesday night. She had gone to Word of Life Institute 4 years. So she was a substantial person. And she said, we're in this church, and she said, we want an in-depth Bible study. That's what she said. I'm going to come. Do you do in-depth Bible study? So I said, yeah, we try to do in-depth Bible study. We were doing Daniel at the time, and so forth. And so then her husband started coming, and so we started talking. And he said, you know what, the church we go to, big church, but we get motivational Bible studies. We get motivational messages. How to be a better father, be a better employee, how to be a better husband, better whatever, motivational messages. And she said, we hunger for more in-depth teaching. So they start coming, husbands start coming, they kept coming. And then one day they said to me, said, you know, we think we're going to leave our church after about 4 or 5 months. And we're going to come here on Sunday mornings. So they start coming on Sunday mornings, and I remember going to them. And I said, what do you think? You know, I mean, we try to do our best, but I said, are you growing? She said, we're growing more than we ever did in the old church. Growing. You know, that I love to hear that. That's the most important thing I can hear, that they're growing in their walk, in their knowledge, and that's translating into something in their lives. And so when you come to this passage, it says, feed the flock of God, we should have a high level of teaching, I think. One thing I think is very important is we need to have people teach who have some gift in it. You need to have some gift in the teaching. In the past, sometimes we had people just had every brother preach. And I got to the point where I said, no, I don't think that's the right thing to do. We need to get people who have some gift. There is the equipping, there is the training, there is the time for growth, but then there is time where some just do not have that gift. They've got another, God has another giftedness for them, and that's fine. That's fine. They could do other things, but we have to watch that we're using people that are gifted, people who come in and preach that are gifted. They have some gift in speaking. They may be an evangelist. They may have exhortation. They may have whatever God has given them, but they have to have that ability to teach. Now, I'm going to read a quotation to you. Now, this quotation is from C.H. Spurgeon. And, of course, he was a pastor, and he's thinking a little bit like a pastor, but there's a lot in it, I think, a lot in it for us as far as those who are gifted. He says this, all are not called to labor in the word and doctrine, not to be elders or exercise the work of overseer. They shouldn't aspire to that, since the gifts necessary they do not possess. But those who do have the gift, they should addict themselves to the important work, like the apostles, of preaching the word of God. No man should intrude into the sheepfold, he says, as an under-shepherd. He must have an eye to the chief shepherd. He should wait on his beck and command. If he doesn't have that call from God and that leading of God, and God has not commanded them to go forth and preach, they shall not be a prophet to the people. They must have a practical gifting to preach the word of God. I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think it's very important that we have gifted people. And they I know gifted people that don't put the work in. And I've been very discouraged sometimes that those who are really gifted get very busy in a lot of other things and just don't have time. One of our most gifted speakers, he only has spoken on just a rare occasion. And I try to get him, and he's just very, very busy. And I think he could be a very gifted, a very effective preacher in our midst. And he has been on certain occasions. But we need those who are gifted. He says here, to feed the flock of God. And it's very important. Feed the flock of God. Some translations say shepherd the flock of God. The same idea, to feed or to shepherd the flock of God, to provide food for the flock. They would take, the shepherd would take them to a pasture, and they would receive the food. But we as leaders, we as elders, and we as leaders, we have about 11 or 12 men that preach at least one, two, or three times or four times a year in our local church and in our local assembly. And we feed the flock. We provide them with food. You know, when I was young, sometimes I would come home into the kitchen, might be 4:30 or something like that, and I would go in and I'd grab an apple or some cookies or whatever. My mother's in the kitchen. And maybe your mother did this too. And my mother would say something like this. She says, don't eat that, put that back. And she would say something like that. I slave over a hot stove to provide good meals for you, for the children, for you and your sisters. You know, I want you to wait and get a good meal. And I think about that. You know, I slave over a hot stove all day to give you a good hot meal in the evening. And that's what we do as believers. You know, we slave over the hot stove of Scripture and of the Word of God and of the teachings of the Word of God. Really do. We put time into it. It takes time and effort to put into it. And then when people benefit from it, when people grow through it. Now, I had a friend, and he said, you know, sometimes, preaching friend, he said, you know, sometimes someone says, you know, I don't remember the things that I hear Sunday morning. You know, I don't retain it, and I don't keep it. I take some notes, but I forget so much. And my friend said to me, he said, do you remember what you ate for dinner 3 weeks ago? What did you have? I don't know. But it nourished you, right? It nourished you, and you receive spirit, you receive physical strength through that food. And it benefited you 3 weeks ago. You don't realize it, but it gave you the strength, it gave something to you. And each time, you may not remember everything, but that food you get nourishes you for that day or that evening. The Word of God is nourishing you, even though you may not remember everything about it. Don't think about having to remember everything about it, but it's nourished you. Now, take notes, learn as much as you can, read, come and read and be a part of that. And as you do that, you'll be nourished. But don't get so hung up. Some people say, oh, I forgot so much. I'm not learning as much as I want to learn. And so he says, feed the flock of God that is among you. When I was a young believer, I went to a chapel, a very good chapel. And as I went to that chapel, one day a man came in and he was speaking on prophecy. And he brought about 10 books. And they were, those books, all the same book, they were Things to Come by Dwight Pentecost on prophecy. They were a pretty, pretty sizable, thick book. And I bought one and I began to read it and think more about it. And I began to learn more about prophecy than I ever learned before. And I benefited and I grew more by reading that book on prophecy. As we began to get into the Word of God and we began to read some books that help our understanding, we will retain and we will learn more from other messages than we ever learned before. We will learn more. Now, I have a friend in Florida. He grows tropical plants and fruit trees, papayas and all kinds of tropical A lot of people do in Florida. We have about four or five men that love this. And they get together and they talk the language of fruit trees and fertilizers and going to shows and buying the plants and everything. And they have this whole language. You know, when they hear something on YouTube about it, they know exactly what's going on because they are in, they've been reading and thinking and discussing all this high level information about tropical fruit trees. And we're the same way. When we dive into this book and we read information about it, we read other commentaries about it, and we talk to other people about truths about it, when we then begin to hear, we benefit so much more. We grow so much more because of that. And so we encourage that. Feed the flock of God that is among you. We need to teach the word of God. We need to apply the word of God. We need to give information, but we need to interpret it. We need to share it. We need to apply it to the congregation as much as possible and feed. I think there's something good, take a quick little story, but something good about clear, plain, substantial teaching of the Word of God. Years ago, there was a Christian, and he invited a Native American, a First Nations people, I guess we say Native American Indian, to come to a service. This is in the West. And so he came, and the preacher that morning, he didn't prepare as much as he should have. He was a little underprepared. So he decided he would make do the best he had. So he would begin to run back and forth on the stage, and he would pound the pulpit, and he would shout, and he would raise his voice, and he would swing his arms, and he did this for 45 minutes, and so when it was over, the congregation, some people came to him and said, "The preacher preached up a storm today, didn't he? He really preached up a storm today." And so they went to this man, and they said, "What do you think? What do you think about it?" He said, "High wind, little rain, much thunder." You know, he wasn't getting any nourishment from it. There's a lot of wind, a lot of thunder. I think he was saying, "Give me some substantial teaching about the Word of God." Sometimes you get people standing in chairs and shouting and doing, "Give me substantial teaching about passages of the Word of God." We find that's how people are growing. Go through passages. I know you probably do that here as well. Let's go to the last part of this passage. The last part of the passage is down in verse 4. In verse 4, he says, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." It speaks about a reward that we would get, crown of glory. But more, as you begin to look at this passage, and I began to look at it, I see something in this passage that I think is very, very important. In our preaching, as you look where he says, "The chief shepherd, he shall give us some reward." And the context in this whole passage is about preaching, is about shepherding. It's about preaching the word of God. And he says the chief shepherd will give us some reward for that. And as we think about that, as I think about the chief shepherd is thinking about what he knows, and he's considering what we are preaching and how we are shepherding the flock. What we should be thinking about is how to please the shepherd. That's what we do. When we think about the congregation, we think about those who need teaching. We think about spiritual growth. We think about subjects. We think about the word of God. But ultimately, as an individual person is preaching, he's thinking about pleasing one person. He's preaching to an audience of one person. And I think, too, if I can think in my preaching, if I can be pleasing the Lord, I'll be pleasing everyone else. If I try to please the people, will fail. If we try to please everyone in the congregation, we'll certainly fail because we can't do that. You might please him, but you'll offend him. You might please this person, but you'll not please another person. And so you have this passage where he says, we seek to please the Lord Jesus Christ. He is occupied with what goes on in that local church. And he will one day give rewards for that. And so we are seeking to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6 says this, not with eye service, nor as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Love that. That's what we do. Not as, this is old King James, not with eye service, not with an eye to please the people in the congregation. Not as men pleasers. There's a lot of people to a certain amount want to do that, please the people. See that a good majority heard a good message. More important than that is, are they growing? Are they being challenged? Are they being convicted? Are they seeing something that needs to change in their lives? Are they learning about the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they seeking to change something in their lives, in their families, in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? There's a famous story from Aesop's Fables. Maybe you know this story. A traveler traveled through a village, and as he was traveling with a donkey and a little boy from village to village. As he came to the one village, the people said he was cruel because he made the man walk, made the young boy walk while the donkey had nothing on his back. So he went to the next village. He said, okay, I'll have the boy sitting on the donkey's back. So he go to the next village, and as he rode on the donkey, they said, you're making the boy lazy. You shouldn't have the boy riding on the back of the donkey. You're creating a situation where you're making him lazy. He shouldn't be doing that. And so he went to the next village, and he said, no, he shouldn't do that. He said, you know, if you're going to have that, you and the boy should be riding on the back of the donkey, not just the boy. Otherwise, he'll be lazy. So the boy and the man rode on the donkey to the next village. Came to the next village, and the village people said, cruelty to donkeys. You can't have two people on the donkey. They said, the donkey shouldn't be treated that way. You should be kind and show dignity to the donkey. Now, the story says that when they went to the next village, the man and the boy were carrying the donkey to the next village. So it's just a simple story to say this. We can't please everybody. We can only please one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. What I want to share in this message is that we seek to elevate our messages. We seek to give good messages. We seek to use gifted people. We seek to teach the word of God as best we can. We seek to feed the lives of believers who come to our congregations. I'm convinced, and I've seen this, when we preach the word of God, people get saved. When we do it in small groups, we do it often in small groups, people get saved. Talking last night about Christianity Explored, when we teach Mark's gospel over and over and over again, we've seen people get saved just by the simple preaching of Mark's gospel. When we preach the word of God, people grow through that. When we preach and touch some of the very hard topics, as we preach through scripture, people benefit. Some people get saved, other people grow, people mature, people have a desire to do more preaching, people begin to want to give themselves to teach the word of God more and more. And so this is what I believe helps solve some of the problems when not in our assemblies. People who are not coming out Sunday morning, preaching helps that. Those who are a little bit inconsistent, good preaching helps that. People have spiritual problems, good preaching helps that. People are not participating at the Lord's Supper, Good preaching helps that. Doesn't solve the whole problem, but it helps that to a great degree. And so preaching is a very, very important thing. And I've seen this more and more. And so we seek to do that. We seek to have good messages. When we come to this passage, here's a church. If you go through every chapter in 1 Peter, under suffering and persecution. And I think what he's saying in this passage is in times of difficulty, in times of persecution, in times of oppression, we need leaders and those who feed the flock more than ever, and they have a critical role to play. And I think in our day, elders and leaders and those who feed us with the Word of God have a critical, critical role to play, and we need to seek to elevate that as much as we can. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for this time in this session. We thank you for the Word of God. We pray that you would lead us and that you would guide us, Father. We seek to please you first of all. We seek, Father, to care for those under our responsibility. And Father, we pray that these believers would be built up. These believers would have a hunger and thirst and desire to grow further. And Father, we pray you would use us as we minister. We give time, give energy to that, and pray you would use us. You would open our ears morning by morning, that we would have a message, with the tongue of the learned, a message that we could give to those who are weary, a word in season. And so, Father, we pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.